Welcome, welcome. We're going to start this off with a little bit of a celebration. Ah, that's the sound we like, right? So, we are in studio again with Whalefather and the Rune Shark.
Welcome to our circle, everyone.
We are pleased, honored, and overjoyed to open the circle again in the way that called to us. Got a little bit of drumming, a little bit of singing, a little bit of intonation in general, but overall, yeah, we're here to have a good time and follow the promptings and guidance of spirit as we jump into another podcast episode. All right, so kind of what we're thinking about doing today is, as mentioned, allowing spirit to kind of guide. We don't have anyone specifically in studio today. Over next week, we will indeed and in fact have one. Really excited about her coming in, chatting with everybody. But for this one, this beautiful third episode, we're just coming to you as two brothers in spirit to share our experiences, talk a little bit about what's been going on this week, and hopefully that will resonate with you, dear audience. So, the Rune Shark, how was your week today? Or your week today?
Great start. Add that to the bloopers.
Yeah, right, right. How was your week this week? How's it going?
It's been... weeks for me are never... They're never a dull moment, I would say. And just want to wish everyone a happy Woden's Day. It's a Wednesday when we're recording this, so happy Woden's Day.
Happy Woden's Day, indeed.
And I think we'll even try to drop this on a Wednesday so that we kind of honor when we say that we're honoring that, that day. So excited to be here, excited to kind of talk about my week. It's been quite an interesting week.
Oh, yeah?
Bjolan's gotten many text messages from me in the last week. It seems like, what the heck does this mean? Like, why is this happening? Like, is this my, like, is it real? Like, is this a, as I've learned from other practitioners, is this just my spiritual sock puppet, or is this the real deal? Am I, you know?
Yeah.
How I need to have this double check and confirmed, because like some of the stuff that's happened is quite interesting.
A little wild, huh?
A little out there. And you have to be you have to be careful who you share that with, because you know, a wise woman in my life, I call her my Chilean grandmother. I have no blood relation, but she's pretty much adopted me into her life as her own grandchildren, one of her own grandchildren. She said, cast pearls not unto swine. So you just always have to be careful who you share your experience with, because they can easily make you feel like you're crazy or it's out there. And at the end of the day, it's your path and not theirs. So cast pearls not unto swine. But
indeed,
to start it off, let's see, where do I begin? There's already been three or four different stories that have happened.
Well, what's the one that you're most excited to talk about? What's the one that, you know, as you think back on it, you just get titillated. You're just super excited.
Probably the one that's I'm like most excited to talk about is actually I'm sitting next to an altar to this land vitir, or some call it land spirit or land white, that I recently began working with about a month ago, and I visited him and gave him an offering just the other day, for the second offering, because I told him that I would come visit him once every 30 days, and I promised I would. So I went and visited him, and he absolutely loved the offering. I could definitely feel that he was there, and it's at this botanical garden that's really close to my house. And I can tell, like, right when I pull in and I start walking and I'm guided to this spot. Of course, it's this opening with pine trees, and specifically like three pine trees almost in a triangle formation. I'm like, that's where I was directed the first time, and I've been directed there ever since. And it's just been nice working with the land vitir, the land spirit, the land white, whatever you want to call it. It's been quite the fun experience. So that's probably the one I'm most excited about, because like to the right of me where I'm recording, literally I have an altar made to that land spirit, so that I can connect with that land spirit when I'm away from that land spirit, even though he's close, but he's even closer since I've got this altar of these pine cones and these sticks and these things that I was told to pick up the first time that I went and made an offering to this almost heavily ignored Landvetir that was just craving for someone to interact with it and actually realize that it is there.
Yeah.
It pushed over my backpack, for heaven's sake, the first time I saw it, and made me jump.
Yeah.
So that's probably the first one, but I'll start with one and maybe we can go back and forth, because I have a couple others and I'm also curious to learn about if anything's interesting's happened to you. I know that there's some stuff in the near future with you going to Wales.
Yep, so. I'll be heading back to Wales. Whale Father is heading to Wales. But before we jump into me, I actually, just for the sake of the listeners and anybody else, describe or explain what a, you know, Vitir or a white or a land spirit is, as far as you know and as far as your interactions with them.
So this is all very new to me, but my understanding of Landvetir, land white, land spirit is that every like piece of land, even like your home, has its own Landvetir, land spirit, land white, and the best way for you to interact with that land white, land spirit is to just acknowledge that it's there. A lot of them are heavily ignored and they crave that attention. And what you can actually do that I've studied and seen is that you can actually, usually if you have a kitchen in your house, that's kind of the heart of the home, and you can literally put an offering there to that land spirit that watches over your home. And you'll come to find out over time as you build that relationship with that land white that they're very, 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 very protective, to the point I've heard a couple of stories of there was someone that was threatening someone that I knew's family member on their property. Like, pretend. It was just like pretend. There wasn't really any real threats. But that land white took it as a real threat. And actually, that person actually tripped, and he broke his foot.
Oh, man.
So, because it was that protective.
There's just
stories about that. They're very protective when you're sick. Like, you can definitely feel that they're trying to comfort you and be there and help you heal from sickness. So they're very good for that. That's my understanding. I don't know. You're probably more well-versed than that than I am, but I'm curious to see what your take is on that as well.
Yeah. So it really kind of depends on how deep into mythology you go. So kind of trying to white label this as best as I can. You know, land spirits are just that, land spirits, right? Where they can be an embodiment of an area. So you might have like, and we see this in all kinds of different mythologies, whether or not it's, you know, the dryads and nymphs and such, and all of these different spirits that are kind of associated with the location, right? You know, naiads and any of that stuff in Greek mythology, and kind of, again, like Vetir and all of this. But to white label it, as I said, it's really just an entity, a spiritual being that exists within a space that it has kind of taken up residence in. You know, it might be a grove of trees, it might be a forest, it might be, you know, a whole forest, it might be a little stream, a river, or the plot of land that you're on. It's, you know, their territories, if you will, vary greatly. But that's kind of my take from it is just that. Yeah, they're spirits, and it's always important to honor them, you know. And depending on how deep into different beliefs and practices you kind of get into, you know, people argue that everything has a spirit. You know, that's part of where you get dryad and things like that, where, you know, the stone has a spirit. The water, the tree that you go speak to. And so it kind of depends on, again, your personal beliefs and the mythos that you're sticking with, the mythology. But my white label takeaway is it is this a spirit of any variety, usually benign because they're just kind of independent, doing their own things. And if you give them honor them, respect them, offerings, things like that. You mentioned your altar. You can form a really, really positive relationship with them, you know, and they can bring you bounteous gifts and blessings, whether or not that's just through protection or with the actual, you know, gift giving. Sometimes little trinkets will show up, and be careful picking those up because it's not always from your land spirit.
We won't talk about those spirits.
But for the most part, you know, that's little fun things. And so that mythology goes back a long, long time. And so as long as you're just being respectful to the spirits of the land and the space that you're in, yeah, all is good. That's kind of my take. That's my experience with them. Everybody has their own experience and take. So, yeah, that's just...
And there's no right or wrong way.
Exactly.
So it's all about, you know, at the end of the day, it's just all about if you do work with them, the biggest thing is just honoring them. They are...
Yep.
To me, they're almost like... They are an ancestor. It's almost like something I just mentioned, that Chilean grandmother, when she was raising her children when they were growing up, they would literally be like, there would be a big storm and then you would see all these worms come out of the ground and they would literally be flushed out and then they would dry out and die, and they literally helped them like prevent that from happening because she would turn and tell that her children, she told me the story that those worms, that could be one of our ancestors. We don't know. We do not know. So.
Exactly. All life is valuable. But okay, yeah. So I guess then to transition back to you turning the time kind of in my direction with my week. So probably my favorite part was the journey that I did for you and your good friend, and I don't want to like dox anybody unintentionally, but your good friend that came through, and we did the journey to the Isle of the Vulvas. That was such a fun one. That's a really fun one. So those of you who are unfamiliar with the term vulva, not the term that people might know in terms of referencing anatomy, but V-O with an umlaut. LVA, so vulva, or you know, it might be pronounced differently depending on where you're from. But
like,
yeah,
sometimes called like, is it Vulspa?
Is it the Volupsa? Because that's a different one.
Vulspa? I've heard it called vulva and also Vulspa, but I could be wrong. Take me on that, people.
Because there is. Now I'm going to make myself look really, really stupid. But with the poetic ethos, I think there is one of them that's like, well, oops. Ah, no, I can't even say it.
It's all good. We'll move on from here and we won't embarrass ourselves because
I'm going to feel really undereducated here. Or at least mind blanky. So sorry about that.
If you're interested, listeners, you can Google that and fact check us and give us a hard time. We'll take any constructive criticism.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, in terms of doing the journey to the Isle of the Vulvas, that was really an incredible experience. I love working with them as allies, and there are some rituals that you can do to kind of call on them and summon them, and really fascinating stuff, but at least visiting their isle. So kind of, again, for those who may not know, like Vulvas are, best way to describe it is like Viking Age spellcasters. Magic workers,
seers,
women, seers,
sorts.
Exactly,
like,
yeah, seeresses,
like oracles.
Yeah,
yep, some would call them oracles.
They filled several different roles in society, but they were always like held in high esteem. And you would regularly have them come by your village and visit and share knowledge and information and fun things like that. And so, you know, you would consult them before going into battle. You would do all of these different things, you know, to make sure that the signs were...
If you've ever seen the movie 300, we must consult the Kane.
Yeah, exactly.
We've never gone to war without consulting the Kane. I hope I'm saying that right. But
essentially the same concept, where you're dealing with oracles or spiritually gifted individuals and respecting their authority on that subject. And Vulvas are traditionally women, and there's a lot of debate as to why doing anything magical was specifically a woman's role or job, or it was reserved for them because it was considered unmasculine or unmanly. But a lot of debate on that. I'm not going to get into that in this episode because I think it's a lot of bullshit. just old traditions of the time, cultures. But that said, so yeah, I took or facilitated this journey for the Rune Shark and a good friend of his, and just being able to be in that space again with them and that whole experience where with the ferryman to the Isles, and then like interacting with them and then hearing their stories. So yours and your friend's story, like hearing that was just so rewarding because it's powerful, right? It's absolutely, like, it's wild stuff, man. They're all so sassy. I love it. Just strong, sassy women that are a-okay putting you in your place. And that just, it makes me happy every time I work with them, man. I get chills. It's just so much fun. But yeah, that was kind of one of the big highlights for me. So I guess we can kind of pass that back your way. Because you said you had a whole bunch of really, really exciting things that happened. So,
I've got like at least three more things that I come to mind. So.
Okay, well, give us at least one more.
Let's see. Well, this week I also, after like part of my journey is, as I mentioned in the first episode, when you interviewed me, that I wanted to know where I come from, know my ancestors, honor my ancestors, and be proud of where I come from. So to tie that back into that, how I mentioned I had submitted my DNA to one of those DNA database companies, I think it was Ancestry.com, and then took that to another site and delved into ancient history, and then was like all this, like, what was it? Is it like Gael, Celtic, Parsi? Just like a huge percentage of my ancient ancestry is being Celtic in nature. I actually, this last week, actually joined the Order of the Bard Ovates and the Druids in the UK as like a student of those teachings, and just to, you know, learn and whatnot. And if you could see my room, you would see lots of Celtic books that I've bought recently to dig in and try to understand. I mean, the hard part of digging deep into that is that a lot of the records were lost or
destroyed
by the
Christians. Saint Patrick.
Yeah, like Christianity. They didn't want that to exist at the same time. So a lot of the records are been destroyed, and a lot of the teachings, if there's even any still around at this point, they're safeguarded, or the people that know them are very particular on who they share them with, or they don't share them at all and tell them that you kind of have to find it your way, pretty much, which resonates with me because it's your path. So you should be able to find your way. And even if you have to call upon your ancestors, you can ask your ancestors, the ones that can help you on that path, and ask them to step forward, and they will step forward and help you on that. So that was another aspect of this week that's been quite interesting for me. So
I love that. And I really, especially with things that are recreationalist, like there's so much right now that's trying to make its way back into mainstream that we no longer have records of, or it's a lot of, like I said, reconstructionalist approaches to it. But that kind of reminds me of a story that the shamanic practitioner that I trained under talked about. And I haven't fact checked this, so I'm just sharing this story. But, you know, quite some time ago, there was in, you know, America, and growing up in Oklahoma, I am acutely aware of the stories surrounding the Native Americans and the traumas that they went through, the Trail of Tears, all of that stuff. But there was a time period wherein a lot of these Native American tribes lost so much of what they had originally known because, you know, we all tried to Well, it was really just ethnic cleansing is what it was. It was horrible, horrible, horrible stuff. But as a result of all of the atrocities that were going on to the Native American people and the different Native American tribes, a lot of their old practices and old beliefs were lost. And as the story goes, many of these tribal elders came together again, and they did spirit journeys. They did journeys to their ancestral teachers and reclaimed the old knowledge that their ancestors had, and they brought it back through spirit journey, through this process of communicating with the divine, with their ancestors, with the land, all of that, and were able to then bring back a lot of what was lost. And so, you know, I think about that story in relation to a lot of these other practices like Druidism, or, you know, again, like Ossetru, and various paths that for the most part have been kind of stomped out, but especially Druidism. Man, that thing got brutalized.
It's making a comeback, I'll tell you that much, in this 20th, what is it, the 20th century? It's been quite the comeback.
Yeah, it's so definitely coming back. So. Yeah, 21st century. But with that, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I know that I studied it for years as well. I love Druidism. It's a beautiful, beautiful path. But that's what that makes me think of. And further, you know, validates the concept of finding your truth through journey of spirit, you know, going on shamanic journeys, going on any kind of meditative experience, speaking with the ancestors, communicating with those who came before, that does not, like, when you receive, when you receive guidance from these spiritual entities and on these journeys, that is valid. Like, it's important to understand that it's coming from source, or it's coming from your ancestors.
No matter what it is or how weird it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like,
it's worth looking at, you know, and that we can learn from those who have gone before in ways that, you know, academia does not supply answers to, you know, not to negate the validity and highly important facet of studying records and all of that and findings. But there comes a point where spirit becomes the medium that you need to travel through to acquire knowledge. I really kind of love how that is something that Druidism in general is really deeply connected to, is bringing that back, trying to recreate it. And yeah, it's just as valid now as it was then.
Well, as they say, you know, in one of my divination decks that I use in my practice, it's kind of sad to say this, but the earth is an endangered species with how we treat it. So, the only way that we can actually help is, I feel like, through returning of that druidic path and those people taking up those arms and doing the druidic work to help heal the land.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I know that you're kind of new to that path, Keaton. I'm just a little curious, though. Where would you like to see that go for you? Like, where do you want to end up as a druid?
So honestly, you start out in the order of the bard, the ove, and the druid. I don't know that necessarily I would go to get to full druidism, because that's quite the commitment. Like, there's lots of people where it takes as much as 20 years to become to get fully involved with that, where you have everything you need. That's not to negate the two prior parts of that, because you start off through going through the stuff as the bard, and a lot of people will think of like the bard level as negative, but it's absolutely fundamental.
And yeah, it's a crucial step.
To be honest, me personally, I see myself stepping more through the bard path, and through the, is it called Ovate? Yeah, because that's more tied to what I work with, which is more on the side of the divination. But, you know, never say never.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes I feel like I could be pushed into that full Druidism because just of my ancestry, and I just feel that strong connection to it. But at this particular point in time, I see myself going through at least the first two parts of that path, if that makes sense in that response.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And I absolutely see you thriving as a novate, you know, like the seer, the prophet, the like pursuer of truth in that divination type capacity, you know, because you've got a very, very strong connection to the divine. Like I love receiving your rune readings. They're just spectacular. And you've got a gift, like genuinely. And so yeah, I'd be very, very interested to kind of see where that takes you, you know. But yeah, so we're kind of approaching our time here. I'm excited because our next episode, we're going to be having, what's your friend's name?
Brooke.
Yeah, so Brooke's going to be coming in, talking a little bit about what she does. And then after that, realistically, the next episode is going to be me out in Wales talking to some practitioners there. I'm hoping that we can get the Rune Shark tuning in remotely. It might be your nighttime, though.
That's fine. Like an 8-hour difference.
There you go.
The shark never stops swimming.
Hell yeah, brother.
Don't sharks not sleep?
I think they rest, but
they can't stop swimming though. Yeah, they'll die.
Yeah.
They can't do nothing, which makes a lot of sense for me. I can't look back. I have to keep moving forward.
There you go.
So
I wonder if that's like a myth. I'll have to look into that now, looking into biology. But yeah, that makes sense. But that said, yeah, I'm excited to be out that way again. I've missed my family, people, my shamanic group out there. And we're going to be, interviewing some of them. Likely we'll have, you know, White Heron as one of them. Yeah, she's spectacular. I think she'd be just the best guest. So got a few options out that way. So far, appreciate everybody who kind of stuck around for our little spur of the moment, but guided by spirit episode today. As always, you know, we love and appreciate you. And if ever you have questions, you know, anything that you want to talk to us about, feel free to, you know, shoot us messages, shoot us emails, respond to any of these posts. That's not the right word.
Podcast respond.
Thank you. Yeah.
How would they do that? So I guess the best way would be if you're trying to reach Bjolan, go to the utahshaman.com.
Yeah, that'd be an easy way to meet me there or respond to that there. As always, though, as we continue to develop this podcast, we're going to have a whole integrated website where you can reach out to us, catch up on episodes, all that fun stuff, but it is still in development. But for now, if you're one of these avid early listeners, yeah, you can definitely reach out to us either at the Utah Shaman or at
therunshark.com. Yep. So pretty easy names to remember.
Yeah, but, the Utah Shaman or therunshark.com. Pretty simple, straightforward.
We might even have to include that in, like, in our show notes probably for you guys, just in case. Like,
just to
make sure that you absolutely have access to us, because we don't want anyone to feel like they can't.
Oh, for
connect
sure.
With us and reach out to us.
Yeah, so. Because honestly, I feel like this podcast is a listener first podcast where we are a community, we are a family, we are kindred spirits operating in this frightful, delightful world of ours. So anytime that you guys want to weigh in, please, you beautiful people, please do weigh in.
Yes, you're all worth billions.
It's true. And on that note, our billionaires, we'll say that, we bid you adieu. So until next episode.